The last government shutdown was so 1995.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The deadline to avoid a government shutdown is tomorrow night at midnight. So if there is such a thing, there are a lot of things that'll be different than the last one that happened 16 years ago. For one, the internet is now crucial to government business. And Marketplace's Janet Babin reports some federal websites could go dark.
E-filing your taxes may be the way to go this year. The online tax filing system is automated, so it's expected to stay active even if the government shutdown happens and paper tax returns are put on hold. But other government websites won't work anymore. It depends on whether the government decides they're essential.
If it involves the government spending money, there'll be a real question about whether that activity can continue.
That's Stan Collender, a federal budget expert with Corvus Communications. He says Facebook and Twitter updates might not be considered essential functions, or they could stay active so the president can communicate directly with the American people.
We're crossing a new threshold in the information age with this, so we'll have to wait and see how it's interpreted.
One online government service that is expected to shutter is E-Verify, the system employers use to confirm whether new hires are eligible to work in the U.S., and that would slow down new hiring. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are off now about 0.5% or more. The Dow down 81 points at 12,345. Japan has been hit by a very strong aftershock, registering magnitude 7.4. There are tsunami warnings in effect for the northeastern coast there. The number of people filing for first-time jobless claims was down again last week in this country, and chain store sales here were up. You know what else is up? Interest rates in Europe. The European Central Bank today raised its key rate by 0.25%. That comes just as Portugal asks for a $100 billion European bailout. It's the first time in 40 years a major European bank didn't take its cue from the U.S. Federal Reserve. Carl Weinberg is chief economist with High Frequency Economics. Good morning.
Hi.
So I want to talk about this because when you raise interest rates, how is that going to affect a country like Portugal or Ireland or Greece, these countries that are struggling with debt?
Well, one of the first implications you're going to have is that interest rates for these countries, borrowing costs will go up, and that'll squeeze their public finances. Also, their banks are going to have to find it more expensive to be funding themselves. And a lot of those banks have balance sheet problems and lending problems. Squeezing their profits are going to make them shakier. And if more of them fail, more countries can come under the gun as well.
Let's bring this back home, Carl, because I know inflation is something the Fed is keeping its eye on as well. Why is the Fed keeping its interest rate steady right now?
Well, the Fed is, first of all, different from the ECB in that it has a joint mandate to both watch the health of the overall economy and inflation. The ECB claims that its only mandate, its sole responsibility, is to guard against inflation. So it can say, and apparently it has said, that it's worried only about keeping prices stable. Another difference comes from the analysis that the two central banks use. The Fed looks at core prices, the prices of things that it can influence, the prices of things that on trend correlate well with its monetary policy. The ECB chooses instead to look at top-line consumer prices, which include transient shocks to energy, transient shocks to food prices, and that gives them a higher rate of inflation within their viewfinder than the Fed is looking at.
When you say transient shocks, what does that mean?
A transient shock would be something like oil prices. Crude oil has gone up 50% in the last 6 months. That has increased the consumer price index at a very rapid rate. But unless those price increases occur again, then we will see those impacts work out of the inflation rate within a year.
What effect do you think this rate hike in Europe is going to have on U.S. banks?
We don't know for sure. We don't understand what these linkages are. We can't see them. Just as when Lehman Brothers folded, a lot of vulnerabilities to Lehman Brothers that we never suspected appeared. We have unknown unknowns in the linkages between American banks and European banks, and we just have to be on our toes because anything could happen.
Carl Weinberg with High Frequency Economics. Carl, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years, on the web at Chevy.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Disney breaks ground tomorrow on a $4 billion theme park in China. One of the reasons people know so much there about Disney and its animated characters is because of all the pirated merchandise. So Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports Disney's glad to be able to finally offer and make some money from a bona fide theme park experience.
In China, anyone can steal the image of Mickey Mouse, put it on a T-shirt, and sell it. It's even easier to steal Toy Story 3 and sell it as a pirated DVD.
But the theme park experience and the high quality of both the customer service and the rides and the attractions is something that Disney probably correctly thinks that only it can do.
Patrick Shivanik is a business professor at Tsinghua University. He says rampant piracy is the big reason why Disney characters are already household names in China. A Disneyland in Shanghai means the company can finally capitalize on this brand recognition. Consider it Revenge of the Mouse. Analysts estimate the theme park will net up to $70 million annually after it opens in 5 years. But Disney's revenge may never be complete. Like many foreign companies who want access to China's middle class, Disney's agreed to fork over a 57% stake in the park's profits to a state-owned developer. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, if the federal government shuts down, non-essential employees won't be the only ones temporarily out of work. Their government-issued smartphones will get the boot as well. An administration official tells The Wall Street Journal, if a federal worker is furloughed, it is illegal to work. That includes looking at and responding to work-related emails. One government staffer says she's thinking about a 12-step BlackBerry withdrawal program. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Online, by the way, at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Mad Dog of the Middle East was once hailed as a national hero who stood up to the oil companies and got Libya a good deal.
It is the oil money, the petrodollars, that's made Gaddafi the man who was liberating his oil industry.
I'm Bob Moon. That same oil wealth has now transformed Gaddafi into an internationally loathed tyrant. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.